what an honor it is, Lord, firstly that you have called us, that you looked for us, you graced us, you chose us, Lord, to be with you through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we are so grateful. And then, Lord, in this place today, I pray, God, that as this new season, this new year starts, Lord, we know that you're not bound by seasons or times, but you have given them for us to measure life by, God, and to know that there are different times and different seasons. But Lord, we want to start this one off intentionally. We want to start it off in the right way. And we want to start it off by tuning back in to the Spirit. Starting off in the Spirit. And in truth. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are Lord of our lives and Lord of this church. You're Lord of this city, Lord of this world. You bear the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Holy Spirit, we believe that you have been sent to us from above, proceeding from the Father and the Son, and you have been sent as our comforter. You've been sent as our counselor. You've been sent to lead us into all truth and all righteousness, to be our empowerer and to remind us about everything that Jesus did and said and does. And we welcome you right now, Holy Spirit. Fill us with the knowledge of heaven. Fill us with the knowledge of eternity. And grace us with the ability to step into that life that Christ died for us to live. Today, Master, we believe and we pray and we expect change, transformation, a readjustment, reconfiguring, a newness to come. Even if we don't think we need it, we probably do. And those of us that don't think we need any change are the ones that probably need the most. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited about this year. Are you? I want to... You can take your seats. Thank you, worship team. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And I've got a title for this message. I've been getting on a little title buzz lately. I'm not really a title person, but I think it's been helping, and it helps for us to remind us sometimes. And the title of this message is Tune In. Tune In. Everyone say tune in. And what it's about is about priorities. It's about priorities. How many of you, before we look at the scripture, how many of you like music, or you listen to the radio? Amen. And how many of you have ever gone to listen to a station and for some reason it's tuned out, or you're trying to find it and you end up going through all these different random channels, right? And you'll be tuning it in and you're trying to get to, you know, maybe a program or a specific Christian thing, hopefully. Hopefully you're not trying to tune into the latest bashment, you know what I mean? Ding, dong, dong, ding, dong, you know, but you'll get that going through. You'll get a little bit of Bangra. You might get, you know, some sort of Arabic, and you tune it in. You get some French or something, and you'll be tuning in, and then you'll get some heavy dub. And you know, African music. And then you'll get to the station that you want. And finally, you're like, I'm tuned in. Amen. And then it'll be like, you can breathe. Amen. And the reason why it gets so difficult is because there's so much other stuff. And I don't know about you, but especially over Christmas and the new year, coming into a new year, there's so much stuff in the lead up to Christmas and then over Christmas and then, you know, coming into the new year, there's a lot of stuff, especially living in a Western society. There's loads of stuff, right? There's stuff that we need to do. There's bills that we need to pay. There's debt that we need to pay. There's stuff that we need to do. Your kids are going back to school. We've got to get them ready. You know, so I'm not going to go to church this Sunday because the kids are going to school back tomorrow. They're going back to school tomorrow. So some people don't come to church because they're getting the kids ready. Or some people are going back to work, so they don't come to church because they've got to, I don't know, they've got to put on a face pack, straighten their hair, do their nails, iron their clothes, whatever, you know. Just stuff, man. And we can lose focus on the main thing. And even those of us that don't, we can still lose focus on the main thing. And we can start getting interference from other sources. Have you ever tuned in the station and you've got it like just a little bit out? It's like one station below or one station higher. And it's, you know, you're listening to this beautiful worship music and then all of a sudden some banger tune will just break in or you're like, whoa, because you ain't tuned in properly. And I want to look today at priorities, getting our priorities back, getting our centre back, getting the right attitude and the right atmosphere of our life back. And we're going to look at an example of two sisters, Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 38 through verse 32. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now it happened as they went that he," that's Jesus, "entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet." Everyone say "also." Very important word. "She also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." But here we come to it. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord,'" well, she probably didn't say it like that, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Anyone ever prayed like that? "Therefore, Jesus, King of the universe, Lord of all, therefore, tell her to come and help me." Start ordering God about. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha.'" Now, whenever Jesus calls someone by name twice in the same sentence, you know he wants their attention. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Let me ask you a question right now. What are your biggest priorities? What are your biggest priorities? Some people that are single, their biggest priority is getting a spouse. Amen. Any single people we got in the house? Probably a lot of your prayer goes towards finding the one. Amen. Sisters, you're looking for the right mister. Come on now. Mister, you're looking for the right sister. Amen. The ladies are looking for Garth long torso, knight in shining armor. Amen. And that's right, and you need to do that because it's very important who you hook up with, and you need a man of God. Can someone say amen? Amen. Don't ever think that you can marry a frog and then afterwards you'll kiss him and he'll get born again. You'll just end up with an ugly husband. Amen. An ugly, unspiritual husband. "Well, yeah, I love him, man, and I know that he's going to get saved and God's going to use me to bring about his salvation." Make sure that he's saved before you say "I do." Because when you say "I do," you did. And if he ain't, then you're done. Amen. And then, you know, make sure that if he's got armor on, make sure it's not stuff that he's bought out of Toys R Us. Some of you know my son Thomas, he's 6 years old. He's got some knight's armor. Amen. And he puts it on, and you know, or he has done in the past, and he puts on his little helmet. You know, and they've got a little shield and they've got a little sword. And it looks knightly, but it's made of plastic. Amen. You plunge a proper knife into that shield, it's going to go right through. Amen. You put that plastic armor next to a fire, and what's it going to do? It's going to melt. So you've got to make sure that you're getting the right priorities. And then men, don't just look at her face and her figure. Amen. It took her hours to look like that. She ain't going to look like that when she wakes up in the morning. Sorry, sisters, but we're in the church, man. You know, we got to get down. We got to be real. Hello. Amen. She looks like that now, but when you wake up in the morning, brother, after you've married her, and she puts her hair on, she puts her teeth in. A lot of people have been caught out like that. They've looked at the outward. Honeymoon comes. Hey, everything's good. You're back to that honeymoon suite, and she takes her wig off. She takes her teeth out. She takes her eye out. You need to get to know the heart. You need to get to know what's inside. You need to get your priorities right. Some people are looking for a job, and they look for a job, and it's good having a job, and we're into work. Amen. We want people to work. We want people to earn. We want people to have a purpose. We want people to be part of the solution of society, not to be a problem in society. And we want people to do that. But how many of you know that if you get a job and all it does is take you away from God, then that can be a distraction. Amen. But I've got bills to pay. Everyone's got bills to pay. Amen. That's the name of the demon that attacks Christians' finances. Bill. Amen. In heaven, his name is Bill. Tax bill, gas bill, phone bill. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Education's good. But there was a man of God once, he said, education without God just gives birth to clever devils. And how many of you know, our universities and our schools even are just filled with humanistic ideas, man's ideas. You know, they're even teaching it as kind of gospel that evolution is true. And there is less factual evidence for evolution than there is for Elijah calling fire down from heaven. Really, when you look into it. But they're going to teach our kids that we all came from an amoebic soup. And, you know, between 10 and 30 billion years ago, that's a big gap, man. They've given themselves 20 billion years kind of wiggle room now. Come on, man, narrow it down. Feels so good. So there's all sorts of distraction about. But what are our priorities? Sometimes we can even be serving God, but our priorities are off. Some people want to serve God to be seen. They want to come to church looking their best. And we've all done that. Come on now. You've woke up in the flesh. You've argued with everyone on the way. You've dissed the bus driver. You haven't given the cab driver a tip. Come on now. You've argued with your husband, your wife. You know, you've threatened your kids. You've done all sorts of stuff like that. And then as soon as you hit the car park, you put on your church face. Hallelujah. Get right with God right now. How many of you have ever done that? Wave your hand in the air. Come on now. If you're listening to this by the podcast, wherever you're sitting right now, you need to be waving. No one can see you. It's cool. Just wave. People will look at you. It's fine. You know that I'm talking the truth right now. We put on our church face. Amen. And we can come and we can want to be seen so that we can get on the pulpit, get on the stage. You know, we want to do the right thing. Listen, Brenda and Nicole, they never done nothing right. They just, you know, they weren't doing nothing to get up here and sing. I just knew they could sing, and it was an opportunity, and the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said, come on, let them sing. They've got a gift. They're going to give honor and glory to God. Then get them up here and let them sing. And they sung, and something was good. Something good happened. Not only was it good for your ears, it was good for their souls. But some people, they want to posture, and they want to pose, and they want to do this because their priorities are wrong. And some people serve God, right? And they're there on time and they're doing the right thing and they're always there and they're always like this. And what it becomes, if you're not tuned in right, is it can become religious service and it can become completely the wrong attitude. And we can get in the wrong attitude. And what we're going to look at is these two sisters and their difference of attitude. These are two people who both love Jesus. Both of them have faith that he is Lord and Messiah and Savior, and that's not the issue here. Martha, the Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, 21 through 24, we see that Martha was a faith-filled believer. And when her brother Lazarus died, we can see from her reaction that she was a faith-filled believer. It says in verse 21 through 24, it says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. See, we took the boots on the other foot here. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. See, she was a believer. Mary, we see Mary's attitude. 6 days before the Passover, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, a week before the Passover, Jesus and the disciples came to Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, lived. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very, very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the air was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So we can see that both of these sisters, they had a relationship with God. Both of them believed. But we're looking at here is a different attitude in this. And Mary and Martha were at the propensity to have a different attitude. But we can see that, how many of you would agree that both of them had a saving faith relationship with Jesus? How many of you believe that they were both saved? That's not the issue here. It's not the issue about your salvation. But what's the point that we need to see from this account? I truly believe, I've been praying about this, I've been looking at it. Some of you know, sometimes there's a scripture, it just gets on you and in your spirit and it just bugs you and you want to get to the root of it. And I've heard messages about it, I've preached about this before, and I truly believe that it is about priorities. I think that this message really wants us to have a look at our priorities. I think it's about keeping our eyes and our minds and our hearts fixed on the main thing. And the main thing is about listening to God, listening to Jesus. It's about finding out who he is, what he wants for us. And it's about getting in his presence, and it's about staying in his presence, and it's about preparing ourselves for eternity. Mary and Martha both exhibited different sets of priorities here. Martha was concerned with temporal things. She was concerned with things of this life, of the outside, things of the self. And how many of you know that we can get caught up in all of that stuff, even as faith-filled, saved believers in Jesus Christ? We can start getting caught up, especially in the society we live, we can start getting caught up by the things and the needs of this society, the perceptions of other people around us. Come on now. The needs to have stuff so that we fit in. And we can get caught up in the whole materialistic, humanistic trap of this world. And we can start looking at ourselves. Even people that love Jesus, sometimes they're living in the yodge. It's all about them first, right? They pray, when they pray, straight away they get into Jesus. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use this as Jesus right now. Oh God, what about me? Oh God, I come before you right now and I've got a need. Straight away. And sometimes it's about something temporal. It's about how you feel. It's about how you look. It's about disappointment with someone else or with another situation. It's about how lonely you are. And it's about us. And then we might remember someone else. Oh, and God, bless the pastor. Bless the pastor. I know I need to bless the pastor. Bless the pastor. Or, oh, me sister, or me husband. Oh, bring me husband. Oh, sort him out, Lord. Sort him out. Deal with him. Have mercy on him, God. And then it'll be like, oh, Jesus, I love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's yodge prayer. It's backwards stuff. Amen. And Martha was like this at this time. She was concerned with the temple things, herself, the things that she was doing. But Mary was concerned with spiritual things. She was more concerned with Jesus. She was more concerned with the things to come. And it was exhibited in this portion of scripture. We see in verse 39 of the scripture that we read originally in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. In verse 39, we see that Martha also sat at the feet of Jesus, right? We see that she had a relationship with him. She listened to him. She learned from him. But in two scriptures we've just read, she was doing a serving. She was busy. She was off doing stuff. But Mary was, she had a different spirit. Why is that important? It's important because we can get caught up with worry, anxiety. We can get troubled in our hearts, in our spirits, in our soul, in our mind, even in our body, about many things. Now, the Greek word perispeo that talks about distracted or cumbered in the King James Version, when it says worried and troubled, it's a Greek word perispeo. And it literally means to be dragged about. To be dragged about. Amen. Distracted. But it means literally to be dragged about. It means that something else has got your attention. Something else has gripped your heart. Something else has stuck its talons into your mind. Something else has grabbed a hold of your body, of your senses, and is literally dragging you around like a dog drags a bone or a rag doll. I used to have a dog. He was a pit bull terrier. Everyone say, ooh. And he used to get hold of things and he would shake them, man. He got hold of a Rottweiler once and shook it like a rag doll. It was funny because I had him on a lead. I had him on a lead doing my thing. Big Rottweiler come over like a bear. Slobber coming out of its face. The owner was walking about like Charlie Big Potatoes. I called out to him. I said, excuse me, mate, can you get your dog, please? Oh, he's big enough to look after himself. What's the matter with you? Started sticking his neck right out, his chest come out. What's the matter with you? I said, please, get your dog away. All of a sudden, his dog growled at my dog. My dog bit it in the chest, flipped it up in the air, started shaking it like a sock. And then he came running over. What are you doing with your dog? I said, he's big enough to look after himself. True story. But stuff can do that to us. Worry about what people think. You ever worried about what other people think of you? How many of you have spent loads of time and energy worrying about what other people think about you? You even have conversations with yourself, right? Pretending that you're them, speaking to someone else about you. Oh, well, such and such is going to be saying this about me. And I know they're talking about me. And I know that he's going to think this of me. And she, oh my goodness, what she said about me. Oh, she's going to think I'm a donut. She's going to think I'm an idiot. She's going to, oh my goodness, what am I? Oh. And they're probably eating dinner. They're probably asleep. They probably ain't even spoke about you. But you get worried and dragged around by people's perceptions. What about what people think that you need to be like? Well, I want to be an actor, but my parents want me to be an engineer. Oh, come on, somebody. Or I want to be an engineer, and my parents want me to be an actor. Whatever it is. Do you see what I mean? Or my friends want me to be like this. Peer pressure. Anyone ever had peer pressure? Come on, just take a little smoke of that. Come on. Go on, have a drink. Go on, pop that pill. Go on, go on, go on. She's winking at you. Hello? Right? And what it It's distraction. And it can drag you around. You have advertisers on TV, in the media, right? They distract you, right? There you are, you're focused on doing the right thing. You're going to pay, you're going to honor God with your offering and all the rest of it. You're going to pay your bills. You're going to take care of this. You're even going to pay for an orphan to be fed in Africa, you know, or you're going to pay for a tsunami victim. You're going to sponsor a child. Or you're even going to sponsor a tiger. You're going to get your own tiger. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, some good thing that you're going to do that's honorable, it's good, it's great. You're going to take care of business. And all of a sudden, this thing comes up. LCD, flat screen, smart TV. You know what I mean? It'll massage you and make you a cup of coffee. And all you got to do is sit there and you're right in it. You are Indiana Jones. You are going to be there. You are Iron Man. You're going to be in there. You're going to experience it yourself. The suit, you're just going to reach out your hand and chung, 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 chung. And all of a sudden, you're like, you're distracted. You're gone. Everything is gone. The tiger, kill it, whatever. You know what I mean? I'll even buy the rug, whatever. I'll just buy the rug after, whatever. Poor little kid, starving, you know what I mean? God don't get nothing out of you, and there you are distracted. Hello? Come on now. I'm not going to buy nothing at the Trafford Centre in the sales. I ain't got no money. We've just had Christmas. I'm not going to get nothing. You come out like that. But it was a bargain. You know, that size 8 pencil skirt. It was a bargain. And this is the year I'm going to fit into it. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. You've got faith clothes in your wardrobe. Some of you guys, man, you got a 34 waist. Come on now, in your wardrobe. And you're busting a 38. This is the year. Distraction. And it comes and it drags you around. We have to pay bills. We have to sort out our kids. Our kids have got to wear the best clothes because all their friends are wearing the best clothes. And if they don't, they're going to look like tramps. And then everyone's going to be talking about us in the playground. And it's all about this perispeo. It's about perception. It's about getting the wrong perception. You start getting dragged around by stuff and distracted by many things. And that's the stuff that we laugh about. But what about in our spirituality? What about in our church life? Can we get distracted? Well, Martha was. She'd done the right thing, man. She'd invited Jesus into her house. That's good, right? And Jesus had come. That's good, right? And then she'd wanted to serve him. That's not bad, is it? We want to serve God. But look at what happened. There was a priority shift. Amen? She was concentrating on the wrong stuff. And what happens is, when there's a priority shift, when you lose focus on your priorities because your perception is changed by things around you and things that you think in your natural mind that need to be done, you start to ask questions like, how do I look to people? Am I being successful? Am I doing everything the way I think it should be done? Am I fulfilling everyone's expectations? And you end up being dragged in these different directions and you start to take matters into your own hands. And to a Christian, technically, it means that you start walking in the flesh. I have to do this. I need to do that. And then everyone around you, watch this. You start to know when you're starting to creep into this, when there is this type of creep, when there is this attitude creep, priority creep that's coming into your life because you're doing it. You're doing the right thing that you think is right, and it's not bad. But everyone else around you that's not doing what you're doing in the way that you're doing it starts getting roasted. Hello. You even pray differently. You ever found yourself praying against someone, not for them? Oh, come on, you did it this week. I'm sure you did. That's what Martha was doing. She had Jesus. She had the presence of God. She was in the presence of the Lord. And look at what she was doing. She was interacting with the Savior of the world based upon her own priorities, not based upon his priorities. She started talking to him, right? And she had a pop at him. Well, I've asked you to come and I've got your presence here, but I'm serving you. Don't you care about what I'm doing?
Imagine that.
Come on, some of you have done that. You're looking at me like, oh, I would never do that. If I had Jesus in my house, oh, wow. You have Jesus in your house. Every time you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you get down in prayer, he comes, you invite him in. But then what happens? She's turned around and she's running about and she's expecting a pat on the back for what she's doing. And when Jesus don't give her a pat on the back based upon what she's doing, she turns around and she starts having a go at the Savior. Well, don't you care? Can't you see what I'm doing? Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing it for you. And as for her, as for that pastor, oh, my goodness. You don't know what I'm doing. He just gets up there, you know, an hour a week, if I'm lucky. Sometimes an hour and a half. Goodness. Don't you care? You know, I'm there in the morning. I've come, I've dressed up, I've stuck my hair on, I've put my face on. I'm coming in there looking good. I ain't dragging myself in there. And I've come in there and I'm lifting my hands and I've even given money. And there they all are and they're not even saying nothing. Don't you care? And that man you give me, lazy. Sisters, let me tell you something. If you ask a man to fix something, let me tell you something. He's going to fix it. You don't have to keep reminding him every 6 months or so. It's going to be done. It's a season for everything. But here she was. Vicky's shaking her head. She's like, I felt the prayers. God, that man. Man, you gave me. That man who you let find me. Martha had invited Jesus to her house. That's good. Everyone say that's good. She wanted to make him welcome. That's a good job. Say good job. But then not only did she ignore him, watch this, she started accusing him of not caring about her and blaming Mary for the fact that she was in such a state. That's definitely not good. Say ouch. So we need to reprioritize our lives. Sometimes we just need to stop and be still and know that he is God. Instead of taking matters into our own hands, we need to stop, be still, and know that he is God. Because sometimes our first reaction is the flesh. We need to stop, get our flesh out of the way, and let our spirit engage with the King of the universe. Instead of doing things we think are needed, we should spend some intentional quality time with the Savior just listening to him. See, how many of you go before the Lord in your prayer time with a big list? You've got a prayer list, and that's good, and you're faithful with it, and you pray these things through, and it becomes like going to Asda or Tesco's. You know what I mean? Or what's the posh one? What's that called? Waitrose. Sometimes you even shop in Waitrose in the morning. Come on now, in prayer. Hello, or Harrods. Some of you are Harrods shoppers, or Selfridges, or Marks and Spencers. Woo! And you go in there, and you're there with your prayer list. You know, some of you are Lidl's and Aldi, and you know what I mean? Some of you are Tesco. You know, there's a shop in Salford. It's like a corner shop, right? It's a corner shop. It's called Tesco. Tesco's. That's tremendous. Huh? Like Kung Fu Fried Chicken or something, one of them chicken shops, KFC, you know, King Fried Chicken. Right? And you go there and you've got a little shopping list and you're there in the morning and you do your faithful prayer. Baked beans, pasta, milk, bread, cheese. Oh, and Lord, sometimes you'll fling in a new one. Oh, and Lord, washing powder. We want to be clean. Oh, cleanness. And you're just going down a list. When was the last time you just got in his presence and just said nothing? Martha was running about. She called it on. She brought him in. And then she blanked him. And she was running about doing things that she thought that he wanted. Mary was listening and finding out what he really wanted. Jesus might not have even been hungry. Didn't he say to the woman, to his disciples after he'd ministered to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, they come back, they was looking for food for him. They came back and they was like, what's happening? So someone brought food for him. He said, my food and drink is to do the will of God. He wanted to do his Father's will. He wanted to minister. He wanted to speak. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is intentional. He's not like some Hindu god that you... I remember back in the day in London, there was a big temple out in West London. And there was an elephant god, Ganesh. And they would put milk down in front of him. And all the milk was disappearing. They were like, oh, a manifestation of Ganesh. He's drinking the milk. Come on. But they have to feed their god. We don't have to feed our god. Our god don't need us. We don't need anything. He is all-sufficient. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's bigger than we give him credit for. He's more amazing than we could ever articulate. But he has an intentional desire that he wants to share it with us. The big difference, the thing that Jesus highlighted was Martha's attitude. What she was doing was not wrong, and what many of us have been doing is not wrong. We've been serving God. We've been coming to church. We've been getting involved. We've been on the ushers, in the worship, in the prayer ministry, in the teacher ministry, in the homes, doing this, hospitality, cleaning, whatever it is that you do for God. And it's not wrong. But what was wrong with Martha was that she'd forgotten why. She'd forgotten why she was doing it. She lost the joy of serving. How many of you know that you see that in church? I see it as a pastor. People want to get involved and they get involved and they do it for a while in the spirit. And while they're in the spirit, everything is a joy. I just love serving my God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I'm just so grateful to be able to do anything. I was lost and I was bound. I'm just a nobody who wants to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. Oh, I was tore up from the floor up and beat up from the feet up. And I was messed up from the chest up and a wreck up from the neck up. I was busted, disgusted and couldn't be trusted. Hallelujah, I want to thank the Lord for my salvation. Right? Everything's wonderful. Then give it a while. Then it's like, I just mopped that floor. Jesus, I just mopped that floor. Don't you care? I just mopped that floor. I just cleaned that toilet and someone's gone in and used it. Yeah, well, it's a toilet. And they lose the joy. Martha had lost the joy of serving. She'd missed the reason for what she was doing. All of a sudden, serving Jesus had become a frustration. It had become a burden. And it was causing anger to spurt out against Jesus and everyone around her who she thought deserved it. Ever been like that? Come on now, lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Today's a day of intentionality. We're going to get right. We're going to retune in. Come on, be honest right now. Come on, wave your hand in the air. If you've fallen into this trap from time to time, come on. You've got bugged, you've got bored, you've got the ump with serving God from time to time. You might even be frustrated now, you might be distracted now, you might be wondering now, what is this all about? Why do I come? Does God even notice me? Well, he's there, isn't he? You're here, ain't you? Of course he notices you. Otherwise you would not be here. Martha needed to get her priorities sorted out. She needed to get back to the heart of worship. She needed to get back to the simplicity of sitting at the feet of Christ, of listening to him. You ever gone into someone's house and immediately you sit down, they stick a cup of tea in front of you, That's nice. They're just being good hosts. What about if you're a coffee drinker? What about if you don't partake of caffeine? Or they sit down, they get the biscuits out. What about if you're fasting? Hello? They haven't asked you what you want. They've got the right intention. They've got a good intention. Martha had good intentions. Mary was finding out God's intentions. Martha was already off and running. Like Usain Bolt in the World Championships a couple of years ago. On your marks, get set. You jumped the gun. Got disqualified. Mary was waiting to see what Jesus wanted. Because how many of you know I've come on a long journey since my salvation. I've done this. I've been involved in this. I've done stuff, man. I've worked in the children's ministry. What a tremendous ministry that is. Anointing you need to do that. Serious. I honor every person that works in the children's ministry. It's amazing. The homes, my goodness. I've run homes on different continents. I ran a home in Jerusalem. I was running one of our recovery homes in Jerusalem with people that didn't even speak English. It's hard enough when they speak English. What about when they don't speak English? I used to have to give Bible studies in a mixture of Russian, Hebrew, and mime. I've worked with a gang. They're all keeping quiet. They're all getting distracted. And I've been on a long journey, man. And I've been a staff member, an associate pastor. I'm a pastor. And I've been through the whole gamut of stuff. I've run the prayer. I've done the evangelism. I've taken teams. I've done this. I've done that. And you know, there's been times when I've lost it. And I've just been serving with good intentions. I've just been going through the motions. And I know when I'm doing it because I start looking at other people's lack and comparing it to myself. And you become like the Pharisee in the temple. Oh God. I fast twice a week and I tithe a tenth of all my mint and rue. And I thank you that I'm not like him over there. The Bible says he pointed at a little old tax collector. A little old raggedy looking tax collector couldn't even lift up his eyes before the Lord, but looked down and beat upon his breast, saying, "Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "Which one left justified?" And it was the one that knew what he needed from the Lord, not the one that thought he was doing God a favor. This year, church, don't do God no favors, man. You don't need them. We tell people to come into our homes. You say, listen, you're not actually doing us a favor by being here. We're actually doing you a favor by letting you be here. Let's get your priority right. God wants us to be in his presence. He wants us to listen to him. He wants us to know why it is that we're doing it. And then he wants to tell us what it is he wants us to do. And then he wants us to go and do it with joy. What are God's intentions? There's many, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10 answers some of these questions. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. This tells us who. What's the who? God, the Father. The what? He chose us. He picked us as sons and daughters for his family. How? Through Christ. You can only come to him through Christ. When? Well, God knew. It didn't take him by surprise that Adam and Eve messed up. He'd already provided the way of escape because he knows the end from the beginning. Amen. And he provided a way before the foundations of the earth. The way of escape, the way of salvation was through Christ Jesus. God had prepared it. Now here's a thing, very quickly, I want to make clear. God did not choose and does not choose some for salvation and some for damnation. To me, I believe that is a false doctrine. And it is one that has caused a lot of people to go astray. I don't believe that it is faithful to the word of God. Because God does not choose to reprobate people. He chooses, the Bible says, that his desire is that all who believe in Christ shall be saved. All. What he did was, he chose a way that all who believed in Christ should be saved. He didn't say that you're saved and you're damned before the foundation of the world and there's nothing you can do to change that. I don't believe that is honoring to Scripture. That's me. Others will argue that. And me, I disagree with that. I'm letting you know right now. I believe that if you have faith in Christ, it is by grace that God has already put before us. He's graced us. He's enabled us. And that our faith is merely a response to that. And through that, we get the free gift of salvation. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then the Bible says, following our salvation, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. He wants us to do good stuff. Can someone say amen? And it is unique to us. But he chose the way of salvation. That would always be through Christ. It would always be to Christ. It would always be for Christ. And that we should become like him. And all God's doing when he allows seasons, situations, problems, and stuff to come is he's allowing stuff in us to rise up to the surface that is unchrist-like so that he can just chop it away. So that one day we're going to think like Christ, we're going to speak like Christ, we're going to look like Christ, we're going to sense like Christ, we're going to feel like Christ, we're going to live like Christ, we're going to be like Christ. That's his plan, man. You know how you get like that? There's no other way than that you be with Christ. Because he will show you what he wants you to do. He'll show you when he wants you to do it. He will speak to you and tell you who you are. He'll tell you what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it. And then you won't waste any time getting dragged around by meaningless stuff. Close your eyes. Worship team, come back. The Father brings us to himself through the Son. Why? For himself. For his pleasure. Because he wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to know him and be known by him. Where does he want us to be? Where does he want us to live for eternity? In his presence. Father, Lord, I know that there are Marthas in this place today. Father, I know that serving you is good, but the motive must be right. Father, realign our hearts. Realign our hearts. Lord, in this year, we want to be smart. We want to walk the narrow path with perfect balance. We want to do your will, Lord. We want to please you. You're not concerned with the results that we produce as long as we've just worked with what you gave us. Father, I believe that you're concerned with our faithfulness. Here's a word for someone right now. You're worried about doing stuff for God. You're worried about what you're going to produce. You're worried about being good. You're worried about serving Him to the fullest. You're worried about your fruit. That's not yours to worry about. One plants, one waters, but it is God that gives the increase. God's not concerned with what you produce for Him. He's concerned that you're faithful to Him. When you read the parable of the talents, you see one was given 10, one was given 5, one was given 1. The one that was given 1 was dismissed as a wicked, lazy servant. Why? Because he was unfaithful. He did nothing with what he was given. The result is not important. If it had just brought back 1, it would have been good. He didn't have to bring back 10. The one with 10 brought back 10 because all he did was work with what he was got, what he had been given, where he was at. The one with 5 brought back 5. The one with 10 weren't better than the one with 5. It was irrelevant what they brought back. When they were commended by the master, they were commended for their faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. The result was whatever. God deals with that. He wants our faithfulness. He wants us sitting at His feet. He wants us obeying His word. He wants us doing His will. And how many of you know, what He told you to do last year, if you've done it, He might not want you to do the same thing this year. I'm going to end it with this story, and I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want someone to catch this right now. There's a story that I heard of a pastor that was preaching in a conference, and it was near an army base. And before he was preaching and teaching at this conference, he would go out for a walk over a field. And over a field, he would see a soldier, a sergeant, and he had a dog. Young dog, a little bit older than a puppy. And this sergeant, what he was doing, he would have a stick. And he would throw the stick, and he would say, "Fetch!" And the dog would run after the stick, and he would pick up the stick and bring it back, right? And he would do this time and time again, and it happened over several days. And one day, the pastor approached the sergeant, and he was just in conversation. He said to him, he said, "Oh, I've seen you over these days, you know, doing this thing with a dog. What are you doing?" And the sergeant said, "I'm training this dog, and at the end of the week, he's going to go for a test to see whether or not we're going to be able to use him in service in the army, for special service." And he said, "Well," the pastor said, "Well, I'll be honest with you." He said, "I haven't seen you do much training." He said, "All I've seen you do is throw a stick and tell him to fetch." And the sergeant said, "Well, come the end of the week, we'll see." So the pastor said, "Let me be there, I want to see the test." He said, "Cool." So the pastor was there the day of the test. The sergeant was there with a dog. The dog was sitting there, his tongue hanging out, wagging his tail. Sergeant had the stick. Pastor was looking with his arms folded, thinking about the way that he would train his people, and it wasn't like this. And the sergeant got the stick, and the dog was there looking at the stick. And the sergeant reached his arm back, and the pastor thought, "Here we go again." And the sergeant threw the stick and said, "Stay." And the dog was looking at the stick, looking at the soldier, looking at the stick, looking at the soldier, but he didn't move. And the soldier got the dog, got a big treat out of his pocket, gave it to the dog, rubbed his ears, rubbed his head. Well done, good boy, good boy, good boy. And he looked up with a big smile on his face, and the pastor was bemused, perplexed. He couldn't work it out. He said, what happened? He said, he passed. He said, what do you mean? He said, I don't understand. And the sergeant said this, he said, all week long I've been throwing a stick saying fetch, and the dog's been obeying my command. He said, today I threw the stick and said stay. He said, and the reason he passed was because he didn't do what he'd always done. He did what I told him to do, and he obeyed my command. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that will obey my command, says the Lord. I'm looking for someone who is going to be faithful. That when I say go right, you go right. When I say go left, you go left. And it's not based upon your own thinking. It's not based upon your own way of doing things. It's based upon my word. Some of you need to get into the word of God. You've been following another spirit. Some of you've been doing what you've always done, but now it's time that God wants to take you up a level. He wants to take you into unfamiliar territory. He wants to take you into a new realm. He wants to take you into a new place, and you need to inquire of the Lord again. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, attack. And the next time he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, don't attack. David was a man after God's own heart, and he did what God said, not what he thought he was going to say, not what he saw other people doing, but he obeyed the voice of the Lord. The only way you're going to do that is in spirit and in truth. It's by getting before God's presence in prayer and by studying his word. That's it. That's it. And when you do that, let me tell you this, church, if you will do that and you will start that and you will realign and you will tune into God anew and afresh right now, this year, intentionally, then when you know what God wants you to do, when you're in his presence and you're before his throne and you're in his grace, before his face, and he is speaking his word, he is downloading a new operating system to you. That's tweaking out all the glitches. That's sorting out all of the stuff that you, this year, you are going to work a straight and narrow path. You are going to walk in spirit and truth. He's going to be with you. You're going to be lifted up. He's going to be the wind beneath your wings. And there will be challenges, but you will soar above them. There are going to be opposition, but you will get the victory over them. You will walk and will not faint. You ain't going to get weary. You're not going to lose the joy of your salvation. And you are going to know the strength of the Lord. Lift up your hands. Jesus wants you to be faithful. He wants you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Don't worry about the stuff. When you plug in, when you tune into him, he adds everything you need. When you plug in and you tune in to him by his spirit through his word, he brings everything to you. You don't have to chase after it. He's going to bring you a husband. He's going to bring you a wife. He'll bring you a car. He'll bring you a job. Whatever it is, it's irrelevant. Whatever you need, he will supply according to his riches in grace through Christ Jesus. But plug in to the source. Plug into the Lord. Tune in. Get your priorities right. And that is a prophecy. This is the word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I prophesy to you right now that he is going to bring in everything you need. You ain't going to go without. You're going to be on the right path. You're going to be in the right place at the right time. He's going to surround you with the right people. You're going to do the right stuff. Come and lift up your hands and begin to worship the Lord right now. Tune in, tune in, tune in. Some of you need to repent. You need to repent.
repent.